Anyway, now for the second tradition or the second episode with which we're concerned this evening, from the Samyukta Nikaya. Here too, the Buddha is staying at Uruvela. He's staying on the banks of the river Dharanjara. And here too, he has just attained enlightenment. In fact, this particular episode, though it comes after the first one in the Samyukta Nikaya, appears actually to have occurred before it, chronologically speaking. According to the Theravada tradition, the first episode, the previous one, took place in the 8th week after the Buddha's enlightenment, whereas the second one, the one that we're concerned with now, took place in the course of the 5th week. Be that as it may, here too the Buddha is reflecting. So on this occasion, in this episode, how is he reflecting? He's reflecting, and here I'm reading from the English translation of this passage, he's reflecting, "It is ill to live, paying no one the honour and obedience due to a superior. What recluse or Brahmin is there under whom I could live, paying him honour and respect?" Now, this is surely extraordinary. Let me read that passage again. The Buddha is reflecting, "It is ill to live, paying no one the honour and obedience due to a superior. What recluse, Shramana, or Brahmin is there under whom I could live, paying him honour and respect?" Well, yes, as I said, this is surely extraordinary. But so far as I know, no one has ever commented on the fact. This seems to be another of those neglected passages of the Pali Canon, the significance of which is not realized. Just consider, the Buddha has just attained enlightenment, supreme enlightenment. But what is he doing? He's wondering under whom he could live, paying him honor and respect. The Buddha's attitude here seems to be diametrically opposite to our own. Nowadays, it seems, people do not want to live under anyone, paying them honour and respect. Nowadays, it seems, we believe in equality. Some people don't even want to be polite and courteous to others. Not only that, not only is the Buddha's attitude here diametrically opposite to our own, it also appears to upset traditional ideas, traditional Buddhist ideas about the Buddha, even to upset traditional Buddhist ideas about enlightenment itself. But let us continue with the episode. Perhaps things will become a little clearer. The Buddha reflects further. This passage is cast in a rather repetitious style, so I'll condense it a little. The Buddha's reflections are concerned with four things. They're concerned with what is known as the training in ethics, the training in meditation, the training in insight or wisdom, and the training in contemplation of knowledge of emancipation. His further reflections are concerned with these four things. And as he reflects, he sees that there is no one in the universe more accomplished in these things, that is, training in ethics, training in meditation, and so on, than he is himself. No one is more accomplished. No one among the gods, even the greatest of the gods, even Brahma Sahampati, no one among human beings, no recluse, no Shramana, no Brahma. In other words, the Buddha himself, he says, is the highest living being in the universe, the highest living being in terms of spiritual development and insight and understanding. The Buddha stands at the head of the whole spiritual hierarchy. And if we don't realize this, if we don't see this, then we don't really see the Buddha as Buddha at all. We don't really discern the Buddha. We may think that we discern the Buddha, but what we discern is not really the Buddha himself at all. Let me just go into this for a minute. I spoke a few moments ago about India. And in India, many Hindus think of the Buddha as what they call the ninth incarnation, the ninth avatara of the Hindu god Vishnu. This is how they see him. And they see him in this way because the category of divine incarnation or category of avatara is a familiar one to them. They think of Rama, for instance, as an incarnation, an avatara. They think of Krishna as an incarnation, an avatara. So to them it seems natural that the Buddha should also be an incarnation, an avatara. But seeing the Buddha, you know, in this way, they don't really see him at all. Because the concept of divine incarnation in the Hindu sense is quite foreign to Buddhism, quite foreign to the Buddha's own teaching, and has no place in it. But in the West we find much the same sort of thing happening. Here in the West, in this connection, we have two principal categories. There's the category of God, with a capital G in this case, and the category of man. Man in the sense of human being. The Buddha, as we look at him from a Western point of view, whether as a Buddhist or as a non-Buddhist, the Buddha obviously isn't God. After all, the Buddha didn't create the universe. So, since the Buddha isn't God, with a capital G, and as there are only two categories, really, we think that he must be man. But man, of course, from a Western point of view, whether Christian or ex-Christian, is not the highest being in the universe. God is the highest being in the universe. So we find it difficult to see the Buddha as the highest being in the universe, even if we are Buddhists, even if we don't believe in God. If we don't believe in God, we see a sort of God-shaped empty space. And we see the Buddha as smaller than this God-shaped empty space. This God-shaped empty space is enormous. It towers up into the sky. And here's the Buddha, as it were, you know, underneath. He's very much smaller. And we see things in this way. We see the Buddha in this way because there's a category missing in Western thought, we may say. And that is the category of the enlightened man, the enlightened human being. An enlightened human being, according to Buddhist tradition, is a human being who has realized the ultimate truth of things. One who has penetrated the Dharma. Such a human being is known as a Buddha. And according to Buddhist tradition, according to Buddhist teaching, a Buddha is the highest living being in the universe. There is no one higher than a Buddha. No God, with a capital G, looming over him, so to speak. And if we realize this, then we see the Buddha. We discern the Buddha. Discerning the Buddha means seeing the Buddha as he really is. Seeing him as an enlightened human being. Seeing him as the highest living being in the universe.